Okay. Welcome back. Welcome here. Did y'all see that moon out there? Wow. It's pretty amazing, right? Whenever I see a moon, and Geshe-la would always say, like, that's your enlightenment coming. When it's, you know, a waxing moon. He goes, that's your full enlightenment coming. So next week we have a test. Seriously. Especially if you're wanting the certificate. The test is going to be infinitely easy, no big red marker. And we'll go over it in a minute. I'll tell you what exactly is going to be on it, or you can tell me what you think should be on it. It'll only be several questions. It's the really great thing about having a test is that you can just put that in your little notebook so that then, you know, a year from now when you're saying, oh, what is the Tibetan word for meditation and what does it mean? You'll be able to just look at that piece of paper and have it all right there. So I encourage you, even if you're not trying to get the certificate, to just take the test. We'll grade it that day so you can take it with you. It's not going to take up the whole class, but it'll be your notes for the future to look at. I can't tell you how many tests I have that I look at, and I can't even remember taking them, let alone being that smart. So I think it'll be good. It'll be fun. I'll bring chocolate or something. It'll make it easier. So we start off by thinking of why we're here and setting our intention. So this is a special, especially before a practice, but even before your day starts, even before you do any activity, there's always an intention there. And what we're trying to do in this is make it more conscious. We're trying to be aware of our intention and then increase it to be as most virtuous as possible. So think again about why you've been taking this class, why you came tonight. You know, it's a lot of effort, and you've done it. You've done an amazing job of getting here. And so think about what your reason was. Was it that you wanted to be a calmer person, a happier person, have a greater understanding of what meditation is and what the mind can do? Whatever that initial reason is, think about that for a minute. Meditate on it for a minute. And then know that as you accomplish that goal, as you even just hold that intention, the people around you benefit. You know, you just having that kind of an intention makes a difference in you, and the people you know and don't know will all benefit from it. So in that way, we try to increase our intention to include more and more people. People we know, people we don't know, people we like, people we don't care for. Trying to increase our intention so we can have as calm a mind, as happy a mind as possible. And then we're going to start with what we call the 9-round breathing meditation. And I'll just briefly review it for those of you. You know, you take a finger on your right hand and you're going to close your left nostril and then breathe in through your right nostril and out through your left nostril 3 times. And then you're going to reverse that. You're going to close your right nostril and breathe in through the left and out through the right. And then hands free, breathing 3 counts. And you can conjoin this with a visualization of your, especially the first round, you're exhaling all attachment that gets in the way and obstructs you from your goals, all things that you cling to. You're expelling them in the form of thick black smoke and breathing in the pure, clear, crystal clear energy of whatever holy beings resonate for you. So then the second round would be you're exhaling anger and all the negativities of anger that get in the way and cause problems. And then the last round is the ignorance. All the ways that ignorance, the things that cloud us from having clear, perfect enlightenment, you're exhaling those. So that's one way to do it. But you could also do it, say you're feeling uncomfortable today, or you're really tired, or you're frustrated with somebody. You could do all 3 rounds of exhaling that. You know, your fatigue, or your discomfort, or your anger. You could just imagine that it's thick smoke, and you're exhaling it. But this is a nice way just to kind of settle the mind before doing meditation. So I'm going to start you off. We can all do that for 1, or you can do it twice. And then we'll just move right on into the focus meditation, where you're going to be counting your breaths. So when that begins, I'll give you a little bit of guidance with that. Okay, so check your posture. Particularly make sure your back is straight. So if you want to move to a chair, now's the time. If you're sitting on the floor and even in the chair at home, make sure there's a pillow there so that your hips are higher than your knees. If you're sitting in a chair, make sure your feet are flat on the floor, knees facing forward. And the hand position is the left hand just a little bit below your navel, with your right hand resting on top, and then your thumbs together like you're holding a piece of paper between your thumbs, your arms out away from your body so that your breathing isn't constricted or restricted. Make sure your neck is also straight, so tuck your chin a little bit so that there's not a break in your neck. And then place the back of your tongue, at the tip of your tongue, at the back of your teeth. Keep your jaw open a little bit so it's not clenched. And you can close your eyes all the way if you prefer, or you can leave them open so some light comes in if you struggle with falling asleep. And you can keep them open and just kind of unfocused gaze at the carpet or the floor or whatever. Okay, and so then at your own timing, you can begin the 9-round breathing, starting with your, what did I say, your right hand on your left nostril, breathing in. And as you're ready, place all your attention on your breath, the sensation of your inhale and exhale. And to tie your mind to that, because again, we're trying to bring our mind over and over again to one thing. Breathing is an easy thing to bring our mind back to. So you count one round of inhale, exhale as one. The next one is two, and you can go up to 5 or 10. Whichever is your preference. Your mind is definitely going to wander, and when it does, you bring it back gently. And know that because you were able to notice your mind moving away, you've strengthened that mindfulness, that awareness of note of seeing that your mind moved, and bring it back. And as thoughts arise, when you place like the spotlight of your consciousness on the fact that a thought is arising, let it just dissolve under that light. And bring all your focus to the count. We'll do this for about 5-8 minutes and I'll ring the bell when we're done. I think y'all were in a zone. Okay. I want to see if in this booklet you all have here. So remember, we've talked about how meditation, the purpose of meditation is to familiarize ourselves with what?
Positive
mind states. So along that line, we're going to say something positive now that we're in a nice, relaxed state. And I don't know if they're in this book, but I want us to read the four immeasurables together. Thirty-something, okay. First?
34.
Okay, so if you have a gold book, and for those of you in the back, okay, does everybody have one? There's also some bigger prayer books, you would see it in the front. Okay. So we're just going to say it slow, because it's not going to hurt. Oops. And then I can talk about why we're doing this. Is everybody ready? Let's see. 34. You'll see the English bold. In bold, it starts on 34 and ends at the top of 35. And again, you know, this is a really nice thing to meditate on if you were in that zone that you were just in, and then you would say one of these stanzas. So again, if the point of meditation is to familiarize our mind with more positive mind states, then here's a prayer that is a very positive mind state. So let's say it, and I'll stop between each one so you can just think about it and try to make your wish. First line, may all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. So I'll just think about that for a minute. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. So, you know, I was thinking about this class and how the whole goal is to familiarize our mind with positive mind states. We've talked a lot about almost like the physiology of meditation and how some of the things that we've been meditating on, they reach different levels when we're in a meditative state. You could sit at work and think about them and it wouldn't hurt. It would certainly be beneficial. But there's something different that happens when you're in a meditative mind state and you're contemplating the same things. So then why do we want to familiarize our mind with positive mind states? It seems like the part of our mind almost kicks that out. We were talking before about how part of your mind rejects meditation and finds all kinds of reasons not to do it or not to think about these things, or it seems obvious. Well, I have a friend who has been going through chemo for off and on for the last 10 years. And when she goes through chemo, she says the only thing that gets her through it is saying this prayer, because all of her focus is on what incredible suffering she's going through, right? But as she says this, these four stanzas, everything starts to change in her mind. She familiarizes her mind. These other things are happening. She's not denying it or repressing it or ignoring that, but she's balancing it with this other stuff, with this prayer, and familiarizing herself with those wishes. And in, just like we've talked about before in meditation, when you have some physical discomfort or your mind is distracted, there's a way to kind of expand your awareness around that so that it's less. You know, you're tired of sitting there, or you're thinking about something else, and instead you put that thought or that discomfort almost like on the ocean and give it a lot of room, and then it becomes less of a problem. And the same thing happens when you conjoin your mind with some kind of thought like this. At least this is what she was experiencing, and she told me, and she said it was like a miracle. And I say this sometimes not even thinking, ba 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 ba, okay, I said it. And yet, what she gave me such inspiration, because when she says it, she really has is familiarizing herself with it, and it takes her to a whole other place. So, and then somebody here, I think in the back row, you were talking about how at the doctor's office you tried, you know, you were working with your mind because you were getting irritated that it was taking so long. And I was thinking about that later, how I think sometimes we almost forget what we're capable of. And it's only at those moments, just like at the moment in meditation where your mind starts to wander and you realize it's wandered and then you bring it back, that's strengthening your muscle, your focusing muscle, your consciousness focusing muscle, right? That's what we're trying to do. That's why there's two kinds of meditation, focus meditation and analytical. We're right now working a lot on that focus muscle. Well, the same thing in our life when we realize, ooh, here's the point where I can start to get irritated, or here's the point where I start to get sad, or whatever it is. And then you apply this antidote and you expanded now that ability. We're incapable of an incredible amount. So if we're capable of changing our mind like you did at your doctor's office, it was inspiring me to think, you know, not only are we capable, we're capable of that. Because we're capable of that, we're actually capable of doing it even more and more and more and more and more until it's this stretching that we're not even necessarily aware of has happened. It's just over time, just like you weren't aware that you grew to the height that you became until other people said, oh my goodness, look how big you are. Well, the same thing happens. People will notice how you've changed, how you're changing, even though you might not notice it at the time. You'll notice when you didn't do it. But our capacity is incredible. So that's really what this whole module is about, is kind of understanding what our capacity is and then inspiring ourselves to keep going with it. So I have this little TED Talk clip. This time it's not a video, I'm sorry. It's just the audio. It's only about 4 or 5 minutes. But it's like we do this class and then I go out in the world and all these things just kind of like synchronously line up with what we just talked about. So this was a TED Talk. This is on TED Radio. And this whole hour was about basically compassion, about being kinder. And he had this one woman on who was defining what compassion is and saying how it gets kind of a bad rap now. It's just this, like, feel-good word. So she was redefining it. And then at one point you'll hear the interviewer asking her, telling her what he thinks the kind of person she is. And I liked how she framed and reframed this. So take a listen. We're expanding our patience. You can meditate. You can close your eyes and listen to her.
Support for NPR comes from MD Anderson Cancer Center. More than 70 years dedicated to one goal, making cancer history. Learn more at makingcancerhistory.com.
So, like Sally Cohn, Krista Tippett also works in the media.
And it is a most edifying form of instant gratification. Compassion is also curious. Compassion cultivates and practices curiosity. Compassion can be synonymous with empathy. It can be joined with the harder work of forgiveness and reconciliation. But it can also express itself in the simple act of presence. It's linked to practical virtues like generosity and hospitality and just being there, just showing up.
I mean, and also what you do, right? Just by listening to people, that's an act of compassion.
I mean, listening is a hugely powerful form of attention. It's presence. And if you are really listening, you are genuinely curious, and you are open to be surprised and changed by what comes back at you.
That's actually the part that I wanted you to play from there on. Is it...
Oh, okay.
But if not, we can listen to it next time. Well, while they're working on that, anybody have any questions about the meditations that we've been doing or the instructions or anything that came up over the holidays? The homework? Lighting your candles? Did everybody light their candles? Yes? Okay. Everybody passed their holiday test? Any surprises?
Support for NPR comes from...
That's okay. Yeah, there's a podcast called TED Talk Radio. It's on NPR, I think,
so
on Sundays.
Like Sally Cohn, Krista Tippett also works in the media, but let's just say Krista's conversations are a little different.
Kindness might sound like a very mild word and prone to its own abundant cliche, but kindness is a kind of everyday byproduct of all the great virtues. And it is a most edifying form of instant gratification. Compassion is also curious. Compassion cultivates and practices curiosity. Compassion can be synonymous with empathy. It can be joined with the harder work of forgiveness and reconciliation. But it can also express itself in the simple act of presence. It's linked to practical virtues like generosity and hospitality and just being there, just showing up.
I mean, and also what you do, right? Just by listening to people, that's an act of compassion.
I mean, listening is a hugely powerful form of attention. It's presence. And if you are really listening, you are genuinely curious, and you are open to be surprised and changed by what comes back at you. So compassion is not necessarily about agreeing with somebody else. It's not even necessarily about liking them. It is about making a choice to honor their humanity.
So I know that the way I think about you, you personify compassion, right? And you are, you know, just this incredibly understanding and empathetic person all the time, and that you just kind of live these things. So is that right? You know?
No, it's not.
Okay, it's not. All
right. Right. I mean, I live these things sometimes. I probably spend more time thinking about them. I spend a lot of time in conversation with people who are embodying them. I do my best, you know? I do my best, but I'm not always able to rise to this. I think what I've gotten better at is forgiving myself for that and getting up the next day and you know, maybe doing it a little bit better.
Do you find yourself, like, recalibrating your compassion compass, like reminding yourself to think a certain way or to do certain things?
You know, I actually think that compassion, that we should treat compassion, learning compassion and becoming more compassionate, like we treat learning to play the piano or learning to throw a ball. That it's actually something that we can decide we are going to practice. And so, you know, rather than saying I have to become this compassionate person so that I can act this way, I actually think this is one of these things where the more we do it, it actually then starts to work on us from the inside.
It's something you teach.
You teach it. And the more then it becomes instinctive, just as we are hardwired to learn a language. I do absolutely think we're born with this redemptive capacity to be compassionate. Then, again, we have to start to practice it around each other. We have to start to embody it in front of our children and in our common life. I do think that will be infectious.
Our culture is obsessed with perfection and with hiding.
You can listen to the rest on TED Talk. Thank you. I like what she said, because that's exactly what we're talking about, is practicing all of it. That's why it's called a practice. and familiarizing ourselves with those mind states and noticing. That's why over and over again, all that meditation is about knowing your mind. You know your mind. You can get to know your mind better if you are using some of the mindfulness techniques that we're talking about. Some of what we've been looking at here is using that focused meditation then and the analytical meditation together. That one without the other, they support each other, and one without the other is not going to go very far. So that'll be on the test. Those two kinds of meditation and that they support each other, and what are the difference between them. So we have done several meditations in here on compassion, and today we're going to do a little bit different kind of meditation, more about awareness and consciousness, because we talked a little bit and struggled a little bit about what is that and how to meditate on that. And it's an important one, and we'll talk about how it fits into the whole compassion model after we've practiced it a little bit. But it gives us a kind of a bigger picture. And preface before we do, there's two different ones we're going to do. We'll take a break between them. But they're meant to be helpful. They're not meant to be scary. So if you're scaring yourself, then you're doing it wrong. And I'll tell you the ways to do it so that you don't scare yourself. I'm only saying that because, I've never had anybody get scared, but I thought it was a very helpful tech. Something someone said to me a long time ago was that all of this is meant to help our minds. And if it's not helping your mind, then there's something that you need to kind of look at or tweak or apply differently, because that's the whole point, is to free ourselves. Okay, so this one, similarly to how we meditated on a building and all the ways that a building had changed in our past and the way it might change in the future, we're going to do that with our minds, our thoughts. Okay, so I'm going to walk us through it. So get back into your meditative posture. As comfortable and alert as you can be. And then taking several deep breaths, exhaling any sleepiness. Just concentrating on your breath, letting your mind quiet. So it is a ocean, the waves are settling down. Whatever helps you do that. And then first take a look at your present state of mind, at the thoughts and sensations flashing through your mind. Just observe them in a detached way, without rejecting any of them or following any of them. Just take note. And then start to travel back through the rest of the day, briefly skimming over the conscious experiences you've had since waking up this morning. And how have those experiences become part of your current state of mind? Can you see any things that have led you to the mind state that you have right now from the day? What are you carrying with you? Are they parts of the same stream of consciousness? And then before waking up, you were probably dreaming. Can you recall any of last night's dreams? Or just feelings from the night? Did they also become part of the same mind stream? And then trace your mental experiences to yesterday. Again, in a detached way, just observing, not following it. And what parts of yesterday's mind stream are still with you? What has led to this? And And then continue to trace your mental experiences back to a few days ago, and then to next week, last week. Avoid getting involved in any of the recollections. This meditation is not about reliving them. It's just to get a feel for the mind's continuity. If there's something there that you want to investigate further, put it aside for later. And now go back a month. And take a look at your mind stream a month ago. And now go back a year, last January, 2014. Take a look at your mental experience, your mind stream then. Does it belong to the same mind stream of today? And go back 5 and 10 years ago and do the same. And then go back in your life as far as you can, bringing to mind experiences from your childhood, your adolescence. Just relax and open your mind to allow any memories to arise in a detached way, as though you're just above and looking down. Anything that rises up, as though it were in a movie, as far back as you can. Noticing your mind stream, your mind then. And having reached back into your memory as far as you can, now gently bring your awareness into the present. And again, just observe your thoughts and feelings that arise right now. Simply experience your stream of consciousness as it continues to flow. Feel its momentum as though it were an ocean, one wave leading to the next, leading to the next, without getting involved in the thoughts, just sensing the power of your mind stream. And now try to get an idea of where it goes from here. Contemplate your mind stream flowing through the rest of the evening, into the night when you're sleeping, then tomorrow waking up, the coming days and weeks, up until the moment of our death. What happens then? Does the stream of consciousness suddenly cease? Does it transform into something else? Does it continue on encountering new experiences? And then again, bring your mind back to the present. Noticing the continuity of thoughts, constantly shifting and moving energy. Any thoughts or experiences or questions? Could you feel that kind of continuity? Or was it a strange thing to be asking you all? Yeah. Okay.
I find that going back is fine,
mm-hmm.
but trying to project forward
mm-hmm.
is something entirely different, because I have absolutely no idea
mm-hmm.
if I'm even going to make it out of here alive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, I don't.
Right.
Especially, you know, none of us has any idea, or at least I don't. Maybe there are some people who have some idea of when they're going to die,
uh-huh.
but it could happen at any moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on that?
I felt similar about the future, having no clue, but then I thought the whole point is positive mind state, so I'm kind of a pessimist about myself, but I tried really hard to imagine an awesome life for myself, that I would do really well and be positive. I just sort of picked that fairy tale.
Okay. Well, if you were here at the last module, you know, it's about what is the mind. Remember, I start off by asking you, what was the definition of the mind from the last module? And some people said that it's potential, you know, it was luminous. What else?
Endless,
beginningless. This constant continuity of consciousness. And so while we may not, it's not about predicting if we're going to die, because we are, but we don't know when. It's more about if we can sense that river of thoughts, that constant river of thoughts, not just recollecting it, what I did yesterday, but what were my feelings yesterday that led to this exact feeling that I'm having right now? This moment, you know, each moment is built on top of another moment, and each thought is built on top of another moment. And I had one teacher say, it's almost as though we're riding the crest of a wave, that kind of energy, that our consciousness, not my thinking, but the bigger ocean that my thoughts are riding on, that kind of energy is almost like sitting on top of a wave. And so this kind of exercise can help us sometimes get a little glimpse of that energy, that river that's constantly flowing, and play with it a little bit. You know, if you can do that, if you can kind of detach and look down and kind of sense that energy that we're riding on, that's what we were doing when we were talking about meditating on the mind itself, not just watching our thoughts, but actually on that mind. And it's really tricky to describe. I even asked Geshe-la, how do you describe that? It's very hard to describe, but it's almost this energy that can't be seen, or we see when a thought kind of burps up. But what is that energy that all these thoughts are riding on? What is that stream of consciousness? So we'll come back to that a little bit more. I want to see if there's some other thoughts.
Well, I had difficulty not stopping on events in my life going backwards. But as we turned and went forward, I didn't have that same trouble, and I really felt more of that some wave of energy of heading forward, and it was very comforting, and I really didn't want to come back from it when you ended it.
Yeah.
Too soon.
Okay, so you did get a glimpse of that kind of that larger energy feeling. Yeah. Yeah, and it is tricky not to get caught up in, especially because it's our wife, so we know it very well. There's a lot of hooks to pull us in to certain directions, but it helps me to almost, as though I'm looking down, and I know that the whole point is to just see them as streams of things and not, oh, look what he did to me at that point, you know, something like that. Yeah.
Using the same metaphor of a wave, I found that there's so much going on. I mean, this is coming off the holidays, you know, having family around, you know, all the trappings of the holiday and all the energy, you know, and grandchildren under five. It's a lot of energy. all of that happening at the same time when you become aware of really what is happening around you, the more you become aware, for me anyway, I feel like it's just a rush, almost like an avalanche of things that are happening, like a tsunami of things that are happening. And I feel like, you know, like when they would take the tablecloth and just yank the tablecloth out from underneath everything and everything go flying, the rush is so strong that I sometimes just feel like everything is just like jumping off the table and rushing by, which is unsettling, to be quite honest. But at the same time, it's very useful in recognizing that, you know, so what is it that I am valuing in my life? It's a very good exercise to kind of value what's in your life and what you want to put your energy into, because all these things are clattering away.
Right.
As soon as you look at them.
Right. And it can be just this rush when we're looking at, last week, last month, last year, and it's this huge rush of energy. Yeah. Yeah.
That's my voice. I was trying to focus on not necessarily the thought exactly, but the feeling tone of myself as I was thinking today, yesterday, and so on, and how that feeling tone had this similar string almost that connects them, but yet they were very different, and they went up and down. So it grew, and then I fell, and then I grew, and then I fell. And then at the end, I was trying to picture my ideal enlightened self instead of whoever I'm going to be, who I want to be, who I'm building.
You're right. What you're capable of. Yeah.
So can I speak without the mic?
I'll repeat your question because we have people at home watching. That's why it's on. Yeah.
So while I understand the continuity, I think that what I most appreciated is the fact, or rather the recognition, that I'm not that, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it totally makes sense. So I don't know if everybody could hear it. Should I repeat it? I don't know if you got the sound, but that this exercise helped, if I got you right, helped know that those things that you were looking at are not us. Not locked into that. You know, we're this constantly fluid, changing thing. And so I remember, I had to take this test, and one of the questions on this test for these courses was, how, if you were writing an editorial to the newspaper trying to talk about past lives and how there were past lives, how would you do it? So I thought about this interesting analogy, and I think it works for what you're describing. So say you're in New York City and you're on one of those streets where you can only see, you know, there's all these tall buildings, but you can see the river. You see the East River, whatever it is, through all these buildings. But that's all you can see is that one block of water. You might think that's just a lake there, or it's just some water sitting there. But then if you used your kind of analysis, you would see, oh, there's a boat that came from that block and has gone past that building, and I see the waves moving. So actually, you know, maybe there's something before and after that. And so I think of that as like our lives. Like, I can see this. This is what I'm very aware of. And it helps me understand that, well, this beginningless and endlessness that we're talking about, because I don't know what's before that building or after that building, doesn't mean that doesn't exist. And I can feel that energy of something coming from something, coming from something, going to something. So that stream of consciousness, you know, it only, at one point you could say it was Stephanie C. Smith. You know, at one point there was a piece of paper that said, here we go. And there'll be another piece of paper that says, there she goes. But, you know, meditating on where all this came from, it can be comforting. You know, it can, and that's what it's meant to be. Not, it can be, there's some word I can't think of right now. It meant to kind of shake up our thinking a little bit, but not in a scary way. I mean, we exist. It's just that we don't exist the way we sometimes think we exist. And that's what it's meant to kind of challenge, so we can have a bigger view. So let's try another one. You ready for it? Now, this one is kind of about dissolving things. So it's not that you don't exist. It's just we're dissolving certain things away so that it's easier to kind of feel these other things or have glimpses of them. And when you do have a glimpse of it, like if you do this one at home and you get this kind of felt sense, then just stay with that. Just meditate on that and kind of soak it up for as long as possible. Because we're all together, I have to keep kind of moving you along. But the whole point of these is to be able to join that focus with that analysis. So if you're doing it at home and you have one of these feelings of like, oh, feel it, then just stay with that for as long as possible. All right, so get into your posture. I'm going to kind of combine a couple here. All right. And take a few, several meditative breaths and count maybe up to three. Very aware of where you're sitting, how you're feeling physically, mentally. And even what you're sitting on. Think of what you're sitting on. Cushion or a chair. It's made of things. It didn't just pop into existence. Somebody worked on that and built it. Imagine it dissolving now. It was brought together by causes and conditions, and now it's dissolving and you're sitting on the floor. And the floor, this building, was brought together by causes and conditions, people's labor, material, and imagine all of that is dissolving, and now you're sitting on the ground. And now this earth itself didn't always exist. It also was brought together by causes and conditions, and will not last forever. So imagine the earth is dissolving and now you're sitting in space, very peacefully, very calm, very relaxed. There you are in beautiful space, very aware of your body and your thoughts. And you examine your body and all the different forms and shapes it's taken since your birth, through your childhood, adulthood, all the things that have happened to it, brought together by causes and conditions. There's no one place in that time frame of your body that you can say, that was you. It's all been you. So now imagine that the body is dissolving, and it's just your awareness in perfect, happy space. And you're aware of your thoughts and feelings, your history. So first, just dissolving your name. If you didn't have a name, you'd still have all the rest. So just your name is dissolved. Now your opinions about things, opinions you've been carrying around, changing and working with and thinking about, all those opinions have just dissolved. And now your history, all of your personal history, your story, your stories about your story, all of that dissolves. And just take a minute to rest in what's left. If you need to repeat that sequence, then do so. Just come to the place where it's just awareness. And then come back to your feeling of I or self, your history. The parts of you that are yourself, your thoughts, your opinions, your body. Your environment. And take a moment to appreciate how incredible your life is, the conditions that you have in front of you, mentally, physically. It's as though you hit the lottery. Maybe you were born a human being with the resources to think about this topic, to have the time, to not be in the middle of a war. All the places that you could be, think how amazing it is that you're in this life with these set of circumstances. With this chance. And then when you're ready, just open your eyes. Okay, so what I'd like to do is get you all into those small groups one last time, because next week is going to be a lot about other stuff. So you don't have to get in the same groups, but we've been getting into groups of about five or six, so you can talk a little bit more intimately about this, and then we'll come back to the larger group in about 10 minutes and talk a little bit. So what I want you to do is get into a group of about five or six and just talk about anything that came up during these last couple of meditations, things that are working, things that aren't working for you, and also maybe about your own practice at home that you're trying to develop. Okay. Oh yeah, and introduce yourselves. Okay, and come on back to the larger group.
Just a real quick thing that like really like I do a walking meditation for an hour a day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go to lunch.
Yeah,
I gotta get back to running.
So Brian told me we've got five people watching at home right now. I know it's a lot. I know one of them. Hi, Eileen. Eileen's watching. You can say hi. So for those five who didn't get to be part of the conversation, because I don't think they're all at Eileen's house, what would you want to share with them, or the other people in the room here tonight, about your conversations? I miss those days when it was, you know, this class used to be like five of us in a basement, so we didn't have to get into small groups. And it was just constant chattering, and it was so much easier to talk in a small group. That's why I have you all do that. So I heard a little bit here and there, but anything you want to share with the larger group, with our folks at home, about what worked or what was scary or what you liked? I mean, I think it runs the range, right? For some people, it was probably putting them to sleep. For some people, they were having epiphanies. For some people, it was confusing, like, what are we doing? That's why if you hear from other people, you'll know that you're not alone. And that it is the range, and one day you'll be having the experience somebody else was talking about. But it's meant to be done continually, not just once a year, or you're only going to be, you know, have just such a limited view of that exercise, and you can do different things with it. So when you all were talking, and I was thinking, I was going on a little mental trip about, oh yeah, I remember the day when this center was just a basement with five people meeting, and we didn't have a teacher, and all these things, and you can't find the beginning of the center. Because, okay, so before that, it was, you know, some of the main people, Joanna being one of them, and where did they get that from? Well, some of them had been in India, and they'd met these teachers there, and they had taken these lessons. Well, before that, there were their parents, you know, who conceived these people who then came and did this and blah, 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 blah. And we also can't project what's going to happen when it goes forward, especially if enough of us make donations in the donation box, got to get that plug in on the way out, then who knows where this will be going in the future, right? That it's impermanent, it has no beginning and no end. So that's also the exercise that we all just did with ourselves, you know, that we can't find the beginning of us, we can't find the end of us. And that can be, it's meant to be liberating. It's meant to be helpful. How is that meant to be liberating and helpful? Well, so that you can, first of all, the only reason that enlightenment is even possible is because of impermanence. Impermanence can be this scary thing. We get all kind of, oh, you know, I mean, believe me, I've been there. Because I've been around a lot of loss and a lot of death and dying. And so I was just on that end of impermanence for a long time. And then I remembered, oh, no. The other benefit of impermanence is that things arise. Yes, things decay, but things arise, and what we're hoping to arise is better states of awareness, right? That's only possible because of impermanence. That's only possible because we're not this fixed little being. And so having these kinds of meditations that remind us that the opinion that I had yesterday is probably going to change tomorrow. The opinion that I had 10 years ago has certainly changed. You know, the thoughts that I have, you know, where is this person that I'm saying is so solid? If I had a different name, I would still be the same person, you know, on and on and on like this. We're doing all this stuff so that we don't get so fixed on who we think we are, that it gives us hope. We work for the change that we want. We can clean up the things that we're not too happy with. This building was completely different when we first moved in. They used to sell fish here. It was a little aquarium store. And I painted that part of the ceiling right over there. I mean, that part of the wall right over there. It was nasty looking. So things can get cleaned up. Things can change. Things can improve. And that's why this kind of meditation is meant to be liberating and helpful. And let us know again that that we can accomplish the states of compassion that we're hoping to accomplish. One of the things that she said in the tape that we didn't get to hear is she talks about how it's only because of problems that we can get to be who we want to be. And she says Einstein was this incredibly compassionate person. He wasn't compassionate because he was a genius. He was compassionate, she feels, that his compassion grew out of growing up in Nazi Germany and having to flee for his life. That's what started his development towards compassion. And so it's through the problems that we have, through the struggles that we have, that I mean, a lot of times that's what brings people to some other kind of study like this. Through hitting a dead end in one direction, that's what compels us to move in a different direction. That's my pep talk. Anybody want to make another pep talk for our viewers at home, or any questions or thoughts or things you want to share before we sign off for the night? Don't be shy. It's only a microphone. Or you can say it and I'll say it again. Any questions you have or any struggles with meditation in general that you'd like to ask? Okay, so homework. Okay, well, let me just go over a couple things for the test. Gom is the Tibetan word for meditation. And it means literally to familiarize yourself with something. We meditate on things positive and negative all day long. I could be a bank robber and be meditating on my plan to break into that bank. And that would show great intention and motivation. You know, what it has to be three things, motive, method, and something. In court, they prove all these things, right? What?
Opportunity.
Okay. So Gom meditation doesn't always have to be positive. It's up to you to make it positive. The point of meditations that we're practicing is to develop positive mind states, to become familiar with positive mind states, because we have habits from beginningless time that create this kind of mind stream that we've been meditating on today. It isn't just bingo, luck of the draw, I am the kind of person I am. It's through the deep grooves in my consciousness that I have created through lifetimes of practice. So now we're trying to move and familiarize ourselves with other ones. There's two kinds of meditation. What kind is one? What kind is the other? Right. And so then there might be a question about, you know, how do they support each other? Let's see. What else would should be on the test? Yes.
The points of sitting.
Posture. Very good. What are the 7 points of posture? Because even if you're sitting in a chair, if you have such discomfort, you can lay down and meditate. I mean, it's your mind. You're going to try to get into the positions of posture. But what's important about knowing them is that's the way that Buddha taught it. And so it's just carrying those instructions all the way. You may have to modify your position. Lots of people do. But you'll know the points of posture. Well, we'll see. There's single-pointed meditation. I'm not going to ask you all those things that I wrote on the board. if you've missed any of the classes and you'd like to watch them, you can go to YouTube. God, dude, I don't believe I'm on YouTube. That just hit me. Jeez. Nobody escapes. I thought I do because I live a really solitary, reclusive life. Now I'm on YouTube. Oh, man. Okay, so you go to YouTube and you Google, or you put into the search thing, Kadampa Media, and you should see kind of a logo that you'll recognize, that's this Kadampa Center. Okay, so Kadampa Yoga, Kadampa Media. And if you've missed, especially the first two, you should check them out, because then that'll help with the certificate. I think that's about it. It shouldn't be anything that shocking.
Those are you, instead of the ones that were online.
Right, they should be these, right?
You'll have to search a little bit, because everything has been recorded.
Okay.
So
for those of you at home, he's saying search a little bit, because everything that's been recorded is there. I don't know if you can search by date, but this began sometime in December.
First Monday of December.
Okay, it'll be called How to Meditate. Because there's some, after you get to that site, then you can search through that. Okay. All right, so How to Meditate. All right. And so next time, even if you're not taking the test, just come anyway, because the test isn't going to take that long. And then we'll get into, you know, groups, and we can talk about the test, and we'll do some kind of like really fun meditation to end it. And then the 24th is the, it's like 3 hours we'll be together.
9 to 12,
and we'll do some, it's going to be, it's not going to be torture, I promise you. It'll be fun meditations. We'll take lots of breaks. We'll do different kinds of meditation so that you have like a nice sampling of what works for you. We'll do some walking meditation. We'll do enough, just like I'd said before, it's important to leave a meditation when it's going well so that you don't hate going back to it. So we'll do that and just give a sample of different kinds of meditations on that Saturday and have some fun. Okay, so now what we do at the end, kind of bookend any practice and even your day. You can do this with your whole day, starting off with setting your intention to follow your best thoughts, and then at the end you kind of review, how did I do? You know, and even if you don't feel like you did very well today, like you were struggling in the meditation, you came here, you stayed here. That's amazing. You've been making the effort to try to do this. That's huge. And so what I always tell people is, you know, what we're talking about is all of our actions of body, speech, and mind create seeds. And these seeds ripen. And what we are trying to do in a dedication is we're determining where those seeds are going to ripen. It's like putting money in a bank and you're deciding what account it's going to go into. So then you think about if that's true, if what she's saying is true, that I just created this positive merit by my action of getting myself to the center and thinking about this topic and talking with other people around me about this topic, if those are positive seeds, how do I want those to ripen? Do I want them to ripen so that, for example, the obstacles between me and a really positive meditation are diminished. Between me and those positive mind states are eliminated. There's no more obstacles between me and complete enlightenment, so that I can actually be a source of great comfort and inspiration to other people. That my bad mood doesn't get in the way. That I am a less irritable person. You know, make it practical all the way up to the highest dedication. Does that make sense? So just take a minute to think about how you want to dedicate this effort that you've put in here today. That's also familiarizing yourself with something, just to have that wish. You're creating this incredible wish. It's the same thing as prayer. Prayer is making a wish. So make the best wish possible. And then I'll see you all next month.